You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Deep Dive Broadway. Our guest today is the legendary songwriter Diane Warren, who has written hits for artists including Beyoncé, Cher, Aerosmith, Kiss, Lady Gaga, Chicago, Toni Braxton, Starship, Mariah Carey, and Celine Dion, just to name a few. She's had 9 number one songs and 32 top 10 hits. She's won a Grammy, an Emmy, 2 Golden Globes, including one earlier this year, and she's been ASCAP Songwriter of the Year 6 times and Billboard Songwriter of the Year 4 times. Her songs have been in more than 100 movies, resulting in 12, yes, 12 Oscar nominations, including one for her most recent hit, EOC, Scene in English, from the Oscar-nominated film The Life Ahead by Eduardo Ponti, starring his mother, Sophia Loren. Before we start the interview, let's just take a moment and listen to the song.
Quando tu finisci le parole, sto qui, sto qui. Forse a te ne servono 2 sole. Sto qui, sto qui. Quando impari a sopravvivere e accetti l'impossibile, nessuno ci crede, io sì. Non lo so.
I'm beyond thrilled and honored to welcome Diane Warren. Diane, congratulations.
Thank you.
You just won the Golden Globe, and this is your 12th Oscar nomination for such a breathtaking song. It's magnificent, and it's also so emotionally impactful. Can you give us a little context for the film and for your process of bringing this great song to the film?
So I got involved in The Life Ahead, Sophia Loren stars in the movie, and I read the script and it just moved me, you know, really deeply. Such a beautiful story about, you know, you have Madame Rosa, who's played by Sophia Loren, and Momo. So she's like this, you know, old prostitute, and he's this young street kid thief, you know, and the world doesn't see them. You know, they're kind of on outcasts on the outside, and they don't even see each other at the beginning. So they're kind of thrown together, and, you know, they ultimately do see each other, and they see each other through their hearts. You know, that's what I wrote the song about, is I kept seeing that word seen, you know, and the fact that these people aren't seen by the world. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, in a larger way, the time we're living in, you know, we don't see each other. You know, we don't really look. We just see each other through politics or through whatever, you know, and then you have, you know, COVID, where we all felt invisible, where you literally didn't see people except, you know, what, on Zoom, but you didn't really spend time with people. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people felt really lonely and cut off from the world and again, not seeing each other. And I thought, and it just, as time was going on, even after the movie came out, the song became almost more compelling with the narrative of real life, you know?
it's so relevant. You know, we're living in a time where that's so everyone's so judgmental, you know, not everyone, but, you know, and so
a lot of people are so, don't get me started. Everybody's,
And so this resonates on so many levels. And of course, it's an incredibly powerful song that brings this film together emotionally.
Yeah.
Was it your idea to write Scene, or were you guided by the director to write this specific song?
No, when I read a script, it's almost like the subconscious thing that I take from that. I want to reflect the emotional core of that movie, right? Mm-hmm. So I just kind of, and also, well, what one great thing is I went to Bari, Italy when they were actually filming the movie. I got to spend a day on the set with Eduardo and Sophia while they were, and Ibrahim, who played Momo, who's amazing, by the way. He's never acted a day in his life. He's genius. So I spent the day, and it was a really heavy scene. You know, it was when she dies. And so I got to soak in that energy. And then when I went back to LA, I had that in me, you know, along with that title. It kept, you know, it was in my mind. I kept thinking over and over, I want you to know that you're seen. It's such a simple line, but it's profound, because everybody wants to be seen. So I came back, and I had broken my hand. I was nominated last year, and right before the Oscars, I guess everybody was saying break a leg, and I just wanted to be a little different. So I fell in my office and broke my hand. And I remember, you know, just sitting down to write it. It was a little difficult, you know, but I did it. So I wrote Scene, and I went to Eduardo's house and played it for him on my guitar, broken hand in one hand and a guitar in the other. And I somehow, I have a picture somewhere. It's such a great, I said, we need to take a picture in case this becomes like next year's Oscars. Let's just take a picture. And then, you know, I believe in manifesting. So, and he loved the song. And then what happened was, you know, I did a demo, the song was put in the movie, and it wasn't fitting. And I realized it's not fitting because the movie's in Italian. Like, we kept trying all these different musical arrangements. Let's change the tempo. Let's do it. And I'm like, no, it has to be in Italian. So I called somebody and had them, you know, just do some kind of, you know, translation. And then I brought in, I thought, you know what, Laura Pausini is the best singer, just like Sophia Loren is the legendary actress from Italy. You have to get the best of the best of the best female singer. And I had met Laura Pausini, and we had talked about working together a while ago. I thought, this is when we need to work together. She needs to, her voice, she's such a fucking great singer. Yeah. So she's like their Celine Dion, you know, she's amazing. And so I sent her the song, and she loved it. Eduardo showed her the movie. And then, you know, she wrote the Italian, you know, lyrics, you know, based on my lyrics, you know, basically the similar concept. But, you know, Scene, you know, doesn't translate in Italian, you know, words don't translate exactly. You know, but I remember hearing it in Italian for the first time, and it just, like, this is so beautiful. And we're the first song ever to win a Golden Globe that wasn't in English, which I was kind of surprised at, you know,
right.
More impressed. I thought there would have been something else. And we're the first, I believe we're the first song to be nominated for an Academy Award in Italian as well. And hopefully we'll be the first song to win in Italian. How cool would that be? I've lost 11 times. I'm not going to lie. I want to win.
Well, absolutely. About time. I understand it's been translated into 5 languages.
Yeah, yeah. I was saying it's been 33 years of nominations, starting in 1988 with Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. Yeah, Laura sang it in 5 languages. So she sang it in Italian and English. In fact, there's an Italian-English hybrid, you know, half and half. And that's great. She sang it in Portuguese and French and Spanish. So, you know, she felt it was really, you know, she wanted to get the message across to the world. She has a lot of fans all over the world.
And casting someone to sing your song is very much like casting somebody for a part in a film, I would imagine.
I always say that's 100% that. When mm-hmm. I cast a song for an artist for a song in a movie, it is casting. It's that singer, Laura, could have been in the movie, right? She could have been a character, you know. She could her persona, her it's so important. And I always do think of that. I always think that I'm a casting director, and mm-hmm. I'm casting for another character within that movie to do my song, and then my song's a character.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know what's really great about this movie and this song? That once it was in Italian, Eduardo literally changed the ending of the movie. He took out dialogue to where my song became the dialogue. My song became the words that Madame Rosa leaves with Momo after she passes away. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. So it wasn't just a song, you know, thrown on at the end of the movie with no context. Even though I've had songs in the end of movies, but it's actually part of the narrative.
Did you know that the song you were writing was going to be up front, or did you think you were writing the end credit song?
Well, it is the end credit, but it starts earlier than the end.
Yeah, it starts much earlier.
Yeah, I had no idea. Like, I thought it would just be the end, the song at the end, you know,
right.
with the credits. But once, you know, once it was in Italian, and, you know, it just fits so well. And I think mm-hmm. I worked with Laura on tweaking some of the lyrics so, you know, that it fit that. And, and then it did. And, you know, and I remember seeing the movie with the song in it and crying. You know, and a lot of my friends, this is interesting, like a lot of people I know that, like me, that don't speak, you know, that barely speak English, you know, that don't speak Italian, they said they watched the end of the movie and they were sobbing.
You know, I get that. I was. Absolutely.
Interesting.
It's so powerful.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shana Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shana Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And, you know, just the power of music to change your feelings, to change how you see the world. You've done a lot of songs like this that really rise above and become transcendent, you know, whether it's RBG's, you know, I'll Fight, which was also an Oscar nominated, or from The Hunting Ground, the Lady Gaga song, It Till Happens to You. I mean, these are songs
that had a cultural impact. That was
right
before Me Too, and no one was talking about, you know, sexual assault at all. And so it even made me talk about the experience that I'd had. That's so music, like you said, it's very powerful. I always say it doesn't go to your brain. It goes to your heart and your soul. Mm-hmm. So you can't stop that. It's just like, it's visceral.
This is such a perfect example of a song that adds a whole other layer to this film. It's not like, here's the song and we're going to put it on the film. This is so integral to the film and to the storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. I'm
yeah.
proud of that.
Right. And I'm assuming Laura's going to be performing at the Oscars.
We're waiting to hear all that. I think that's all in.
Oh, I so hope so.
I do too.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Absolutely. I want to give a little context, if that's okay, for your artistry and just to go back in time a little bit.
Sure.
I'm fascinated with the fact that when you were little, you knew exactly what you wanted to do. You knew you were going to be a songwriter, and that your dad was taking you around to music publishers when you were 15 years old.
Yeah.
So How did you have this vision? How did you know this was your destiny?
I think either I was psychic or I looked on a record, you know, once and saw the parentheses and I thought, I want to be there. I want to, like most people, it's like, yeah, I want to be a singer. I want to be a star. I had no desire, inclination for anything like that. I just wanted to be a songwriter. And as soon as my dad brought me a little guitar from Tijuana when I was 11, you know, and then I talked him into getting me a Martin 12 string when I was 14, you know, like he bribed me if I got nothing less than a C, because all I get were D's and F's, that he'd get me the Martin 12 string. And so I got that. When I was 14, I was just obsessed, obsessed, obsessed. And I'm the same way now. I'm just as obsessed. Here's a little interesting fact. So my dad, who believed in me and took me to publishers and all that, you know, the Oscars this year are on my dad's birthday.
Oh, wow.
So right. It's pretty, it's pretty special. I'm like, Dad, pull some strings up there, you know?
Well, he was completely supportive of your dreams.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I can't imagine a dad who just with a 15-year-old, just he believed in your talent too, which obviously was crystal clear even at that age, which is tremendous.
I'm not sure how crystal clear that my talent was, but the hard work was there.
And that hasn't stopped. Yeah. And your musical inspirations, your heroes, you know, what helped shape you as a songwriter? Who helped shape you?
I mean, everything I listened to helped shape me, because I grew up at a time where the radio played everything. You know, I got to hear every kind of music and every kind of influence. You know, top 40 when I grew up, you know, a little kid, was everything. It was the golden era of pop songwriting, really. And then a big influence on me were the Beatles. And I just, you know, Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney just did a song of mine together. Like, you know, I'm still pinching myself, you know, and other artists are on it as well. But I literally have two Beatles, the two living Beatles are on my song. So the 7-year-old me is like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And did you ever want to perform?
No, I never wanted to perform. I never did. Never. I like having people perform.
Your determination and perseverance to tell incredible stories through your music is, you know, is legendary, and your determination to get the right artist to sing your music is, you know, you've obviously hit it out of the park every single time. I love the Cher story that I heard the song that if I could turn back time that you originally brought to her, she wasn't really initially jumping up and down like, I definitely have to do it.
She absolutely detested it and hated it and was refusing to sing it until I held her leg down in the studio and said, I'm not letting your fucking leg go until you say you'll try it. And I go, I'll pay for the track. You have nothing to lose. And she goes, okay. And she sang one note of it and looked at me like, bitch, you're right. I'm like, yeah, bitch, I'm right.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, it's her most iconic song, probably, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Getting back to your Academy-nominated song, I'm curious to know, did you have a pleasure of meeting Sophia Loren before, or was this the first time you met her when you were on set?
That was the first time I ever met Sophia Loren. And the funny thing is, I had my phone. I go, Sophia, can I get a picture with you? And she goes, no, I'm dying today. I look terrible. So we got another one, like, I think it was the Governor's Award, maybe, you know, after that. So I did get it. I do have a picture with her somewhere. But we just did a panel together, and she's on the panel. She said that my song's the most beautiful song she's ever heard in her life.
Wow.
Like how crazy is that? I was like, she said that.
It's not so crazy. It is an extraordinary song and the movie is something that you have to see as well. It's
a great movie. And if you guys haven't seen The Life Ahead, it's on Netflix. It's a beautiful, beautiful movie. It has a really great song.
Absolutely. It's essential. And you should download the EOC immediately. And can we get it in all five languages? Because I'd love to hear it in all five languages.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm not sure how to get all those languages. I mean, they're probably all on there to yeah. You know, there's the my favorite version, to be honest, is the hybrid Italian English. You know, when you, and go check the video out. You know, and Sophia's at the end of the video, and the video is fantastic. It's all these different immigrant women. You know, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful video too. And Laura is singing; she's in the video, obviously. It's great. I'm so proud of it, and yeah, you know, it's the first time I've ever had a song in a movie in another language before too.
Well, I so hope you make Oscar history this year. It's your year. After 12 nominations, this has got to be it. It is such a magnificent song. This has to be your year.
Yes.
Yes, that'd absolutely.
I'm not going to lie. It would be awesome. It would be awesome.
And you have other things happening. I know that you have an incredible solo album coming out. And
it's a features album. It's like me being a DJ. And we have amazing artists on it.
And it's called Diane Warren, The Cave Session.
Yeah, volume. I already have like volume two. That's what's really hard about this record. It's a great problem. I have so many great songs by great artists. I can't get everyone on this first album, you know? So, I mean, I have John Legend, Santana with, you know, with G-Eazy, have Ty Dolla $ign, Celine Dion's on it, Luis Fonsi. There's some great stuff on here and great artists. And, you know, some of these other ones, I'm like, oh God, I hope I can get that one on there. And then can we just put, you know, I wish we could make it a double record, but we can't. But there's so many good songs. And I'm always writing new ones. I'm like, wait, I want to switch that one for this one, you know, but I don't want to hurt this person's feelings and take it, you know, I don't know. But it's a great problem now.
You'll just roll one out every year. That's absolutely fine, you know? When does it drop?
It's supposed to be around, I think in July. That's what we're looking at, you know, just trying to finish some of these up, get the songs mixed and just, you know, it's a process, but it'll be out.
I cannot wait for that. And I can't wait for the Academy Awards and to celebrate you and to celebrate your incredible song and this beautiful film. Thank you so much for talking about this today. And we'll be thinking about you so much that night.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And talk to you soon. Really soon.
Really soon.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us for this special episode of Deep Dive Broadway. So grateful to Diane Warren for uplifting our hearts with her latest Oscar-nominated hit song, The Magnificent EOC, from the Oscar-nominated film, The Life Ahead. You can hear more of Diane's epic work on her upcoming album, Diane Warren, The Cave Sessions, Volume 1. In the meantime, download EOC and enjoy The Life Ahead. You can find me on Instagram at dory.berenstein, or on the Broadway Podcast Network app or website at bpn.fm/deepdivebroadway. Thank you and stay safe.
Quando tu finisci le parole, sto qui, sto qui. Forse a te ne servono due sole. Sto qui. Sto qui, quando impari a sopravvivere e accetti l'impossibile, nessuno ci crede, io sì. Non lo so. Che non vivere. nessuno ti vede, io sì. Non lo so, io che destino.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.